I'm sure, boys and girls, that you probably know, but sometimes one boy picks something up and another boy doesn't, one girl does and another doesn't. Did you know that it is only in Matthew, the bit that we read, that the story of the wise men happens? And it's only in Luke, nowhere else, that the story of the shepherds happens. Mark doesn't mention Christmas at all, and the Gospel according to John doesn't speak of his actual birth. So if you go home and read those first few verses of Luke 2 and the first few verses of Matthew 2, you'll know everything there is to know, all the information that we have about Christmas. Now, if you're wise, you'll say to yourself, where are reindeer found in the Bible? Where is Santa Claus found in the Bible? Did it actually say there were three of them? And were they kings anyway? You can begin to ask yourself. Because we only have what are in the core documents. Now, when you get older, you'll understand that the core, C-O-R-E, the central documents of anything, is the only evidence we have for any subject. And that's all we have about Christmas. Not a great deal to remember, but there's a lot to think about. Now, I'm going to think about something that isn't in either of those chapters, and see who can find it first. It's in Colossians, the New Testament, the letter of Paul to the Christians at Colossae, probably written about 30 years after Jesus died. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him, that is the Lord Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you know, I don't know how my brain works. I don't know how my muscles work. I don't know how my eye works. But I do work. And it's so good that we don't have to know how we work before we work. Wouldn't it be funny if when we were babies, we had to know everything about ourselves before we could live? So we don't need to know how we really do work in order to be well and truly alive. Now, the verse that I read and I'm going to talk about is a verse about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a verse about something marvellous about the Lord Jesus. But you don't have to understand it to believe in him. You don't need to know all about it in order to trust the Lord Jesus. On the Lord's Day, we thought that the Lord Jesus was found in fashion as a man, though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was a man. But this verse tells us that he is God. Now, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything goes wrong if one or two things go wrong. Everything works together, it networks in the Bible. And even if one thing goes wrong with your ears, you can't hear, you'll probably fall over as well. Because actually, ears control balance. There are all sorts of things that are very wonderful about the fact of being fearfully and wonderfully made. How can the Lord Jesus, we don't need to know in order to believe it, how can he be perfectly human like we are, and yet perfectly God. The Bible says that he is that. That he's perfectly human. Did you know that Adam and Eve were made without sin, but always with the possibility that they could sin? The Lord Jesus was made without sin with no possibility that he could sin, because of the fullness of God that dwells in him. He is the fullness of the God bodily. Fullness of God bodily. So that in a body, he is not only human like us, but he's absolutely like God. So that if we see Jesus being kind to somebody, we know that God is kind. If we see that Jesus has power over the wind and the waves, we know that God has power over the wind and the waves. In his body, the Lord Jesus reveals to us what God, whom we can't see, is really like. Now, God is a spirit. We can't see him. But the Lord Jesus was seen by many people over the 30 years of his life, and ever since then, his spirit dwells in the hearts of believers. He's still alive. He has that body that was spoken of, that was changed, a wonderful body, but it still looked like him, and he's like that now in heaven. So, the Lord Jesus is God and man. Have any of you at school done the experiment of mixing water and salt and then separating them out again? And when you get salt water, it's not quite the same as salt. And it's not quite the same as ordinary water. So, Jesus is not like that. It's not that he's human, but properly not quite God. Or that he's God and not properly quite human. He is perfectly God and perfectly human. The two don't spoil one another. These two things are joined in his one person so that he can be perfectly man and perfectly God. Well, that's all right. But it says that the fullness of God. You know they say, don't you? That depends on whether people are pessimistic or whether they are optimistic. Is a bottle half full of milk or water? One person will describe it as a bottle half empty, and the other person will describe it as a bottle half full. Jesus is full of God. And actually, the next verse, which I didn't read, says, "And ye are complete." And the word is having been filled. And if you have been filled, it's complete. In Christ, we are complete or filled in him. Now, I think some of you will know the verse in Isaiah. "Unto you, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now that was written just over 700 years before Jesus was born. But I find that an easy verse to remember the fullness of God in Jesus by. The government was to be on the shoulders. A child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. How many people do you know in your class, Kizzy? I don't need an exact number. Do you know them all? How many people in your school do you know? No. Do you know which ones are friends and which ones aren't to each other? No. Do you know where they are now? No. Do you know what they think about each other? No. One of the characteristics of God is that he knows everything, but that he is so massive, the word we use is immense, that there's nothing he doesn't know. He knows what you think, and he knows how what you think is going to influence what you say, and he knows who you're going to say it to, and what they're going to answer back. Over millions of people that are alive now, every one of them, and all the millions there has ever been or ever will be. And that means that he's massive, immense, powerful to think these things and take them into his control. So the government, the looking after all the nations of the world and the directing of everything that happens in history, is because he is so massive as God is massive, so immense in spirit. And then you remember he was called Wonderful. One of the things about God is that nobody made him. I find that very, very difficult to think of. I can think about life everlasting in the future, that we'll live forever and ever, as long as he lives, and he'll live forever and ever. But I find it quite hard to get my mind round. There never was a time when he was not. We call that self-existent. He didn't need somebody or something to make him. He exists from some great power that's within himself. And I think, wonderful. The government should be upon his shoulders, and this child should be wonderful. And that speaks to me that there is something about him that belongs to himself, that nobody made but he. Now, these are quite difficult things, but you're doing well. Then he'll be called Counselor. Ethan, do you know what a counsellor is? It's different in America. You can give me either.
Go on. You're okay.
Yeah, somebody who advises. Somebody who you may call upon to give you advice with things you don't have. Counsellor. So he said he would send another comforter after he'd gone to heaven. But one of the things about God is very similar to what we said. He knows everything. They use two Latin words to remember this by. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And therefore, of course, he can help if you ask him to help. He's also the mighty God as a child. That reminds me. Another two Latin words. Not only omniscient, which means knows everything, but omnipotent, which means he has power. power over everything. He's the mighty God, the Saviour is, in his being as a person. He still has these great qualities of God. He's the everlasting Father. He has within himself that nature that goes on and on and on. One day, the Lord Jesus is going to be the light of heaven, and the light of the sun will be removed. But it will be lighter than ever. He provides the light for the sun anyway. But isn't that wonderful to think that never is his energy, never is his power ever going to lessen. He is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. And he's also the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Peace. He has power to sustain. But there is one thing that I still can't get my head round, and I've thought about it so often, and that's why I was careful to say that we don't have to understand in order to believe. We don't have to understand how we work in order to live, and we don't have to understand everything. And you know, I have never quite worked it out how one of the great qualities of God, which we call omni, which is all again, omnipresence. God is everywhere at the same time. Now, the one thing being human we are is we can only be in one place at one time. We can go to all sorts of places, but if we decide to go to Ipswich, we're not in Saxmundham. We can only be in one place at one time. And God is omnipresent. I can understand how when the human body of the Lord Jesus is raised into heaven, there'll be something wonderful about it, that it will be everywhere. But he couldn't be everywhere at the same time. I did promise, Nat, although I think you've probably forgotten maybe, that I was going to quote a verse from a line from Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, when I was talking to you yesterday. The writer was Wesley, and speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says, "Mild he lays his glory by." So, he can still be glorious, but he says he'll do without some of it for the time being. Now, I think something like that is the clue to being omnipresent. He can just lay that aside for a time while he's human on earth, and now he's back in glory. Maybe it's a bit different. But all these wonderful things about God. So, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, in a bodily form, as far as it can be revealed in a body. But he has every aspect of God's life. Now, these are deep and important things. They're quite hard to remember. I don't understand them all. But they're all there in the Bible.